I think once more, it goes back to aura. So any relationship, but professional relationships very prevalently. Just imagine the aura visually, right? It's that arrow shape that goes from you outwards. So that's where your attention flows, where your energy flows, where your focus flows, which is also basically your energetic currency as a projector. Ideally, that's what you would be recognized for and invited for. So the ideal scenario, like the dream, TM, is that someone sees what you've got to offer, what you bring to the table, and they come over and they're like, hey, could you come over and do that for us?
You want a career that plays to your strengths and is mindful of your energy and social battery. You dare to dream big, but you also love a quiet dinner on the couch in a big comfy shirt. If this is you, then welcome to the Awfully Quiet podcast. My name is Hannah. I'm a corporate go-getter in the body of a quiet sound-seeking introvert. I build iconic brands for a living and run a business that is dedicated to get more introverts a seat at the table and in positions they thrive in. Think of this as a weekly heart-to-heart with your workplace confidant, someone who recognizes your massive potential and nudges you in the right direction with strategic finesse and a killer guest lineup. Find your favorite quiet spot and get ready to go places. This is the Awfully Quiet Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Awfully Quiet Podcast. Thank you for tuning into this episode. I am still buzzing from the conversation I just had. It's one I've been wanting to have for a while. Today is all about human design, specifically human design projectors. Now, I know that the topic of human design is still quite new, and we could do a whole episode on what human design is, the four different energy types, but I appreciate there is already a lot of content and podcast episodes out there that do that job. For me, I wanted to have a conversation about human design projectors selfishly because I am a projector and I see a lot of parallels between being a projector in corporate and being an introvert in corporate. So no matter your type, I feel like there is something to take away from this interview for everyone. Now, projectors in human design are people who have a special way of using their energy. Instead of being naturally action-oriented like some other types, projectors are better at guiding and directing others. They often excel in areas where they can share their wisdom and expertise. However, projectors need to wait for the right invitations and recognition to fully shine. If they try to force things or initiate action without being acknowledged for their talents, they may face challenges. Overall, projectors thrive when they're invited into situations where they can offer their unique insights and guidance. Now, that really resonates with me. And you can almost see how this can become tricky in corporate, especially early on in our careers, where we're not just being paid for our advice, but for our work output and the amount of time and effort we visibly put in. That is exactly what I wanted to chat about, and I found the perfect guest to do this with. Nadia Gabrielle is the creator of Projectors Invited and helps projectors thrive in their business and at work. She does such a good job of bringing the projector challenges to life visually on her platforms and explains things really simply for everyone to understand. I have taken so much away from this conversation and I could have gone on and on and on. So without further ado, let's dive into the interview. All right, Nadia. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and welcome to the Awfully Quiet Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I am really excited about this conversation. As I mentioned earlier, ever since I found out I'm a projector, I've been looking for resources and ways to educate myself on how to deal. So I found your account. You're the creator of Projectors Invited, and you teach projectors how to align their work with their personal design and strategy. And so before we dive into the specifics of what it means to be a projector, that's what I want to spend the majority of our time today is let's just quickly dive into human design. And for anyone who has not heard about human design yet, what are the four energy types and what is important to know before we dive into projectors specifically?
Sure. So the way that I use it and the way that I would explain it is that it's a system that gives us deeper insight into who you were truly designed to be before all the conditioning, all the stories, all the role modeling, all the input you've received throughout your life, even actually in utero, we say it starts. And you beginning to make all that effort to conform to what you thought you needed to be. And the way that works with at sort of the basic level is with the aura. So we differentiate between four different aura types, where we have the manifester with one of the types. We have the generator, manifesting generator. We sort of put them together. We have the projector and we have the reflector, and they all differ in terms of their aura. And aura is just the way that you're showing up in the world and the way, again, you're designed to be. So with the manifester, their aura, if you're seeing it visually, and I always say, like, you can just Google, you know, human design aura types. And if you go on Google Images, you'll find there's going to be a visual somewhere where you can really see it depicted visually, which I think is really helpful to see. So for the manifester, for example, the aura is quite tight and quite small. So that already, just by seeing the visual, gives you a little bit of an understanding of what that type is going to be like aurically, because they're not so, I don't want to say not so approachable, but they do have that sort of tight, in the human design lingo, we would say repelling. I find that to maybe be a bit of a strong word of choice, a repelling aura where it's not so easily penetrated, let's say. Then we've got the generator and manifesting generator aura that is much larger and more kind of enveloping. It's easier to penetrate. It's sort of, it's kind of like a hug, kind of like a cloud. Like, you can kind of just get in there. You're welcome. Like, there's capacity for that. So that gives you a little bit of insight into those types. Then with the reflector, you know, the aura, we call it sampling. So the reflector, which is also the least common type. So there's the fewest of reflectors out there. They're kind of here to sample from the outside and have a little bit of this, a little bit of this, kind of like a little amuse-bouche here, a little amuse-bouche here. And that's reflected in the aura. And for the projector, what you'll see is that the aura is actually shaped more like a triangle that goes from the person outward. So that gives us insight into wherever the projector focuses their attention, their aura, it's going to culminate in that arrow, almost in the tip of the triangle. So it goes from you to the other, or outward, and it's a really focused little arrow that you're pointing towards someone. So we want to be really, really mindful and specific with where we point that. And I find in my work with projectors, a lot of our grievances and a lot of our little, you know, dramas and the things that cause us grief find their root in the way that we use our aura day to day. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it leads me into my next question is, why do you focus your work specifically on projectors, and what stands out about the projector type for you?
I mean, I have a personal interest, of course, being a projector myself. And I do want to say, while I have the Projectors Invited account, and it is a big brand, it's a, you know, part of my business, or half of my business, I do work with all types, and I would never want it any other way. So in my main business, where I work with people on strategy and capacity, I work with all types, which actually has projectors. You know, we do say we're here to guide energy types being manifesting generators and generators. And I find those relationships to be so fulfilling when they're right and when they're correct and when they're invited. So that I would never want to give those up. So I do work with all types. However, of course, being a projector and having this having built this platform many years ago now, of course, I want to say about 80% of my clients and students are projectors overall. And I just find us fascinating and I love us. And I don't want to say the most return on investment, but I feel like with projectors, the system gives you so much because in most cases, the way you were designed to be and to move and to work and to relate is so different from what you were conditioned to do. Whereas for, I want to say an energy type, because they do make up 70% of the population, that 70% has also built a world that sort of works for them. I'm not saying energy types don't have their own grievances and their own things, because they certainly do. You know, all of us have our own things and our own hangups and so on. But with projectors, because we're not necessarily being taught how to be in a way that is truly aligned with our aura, I find that when a projector finds the system, and I'm lucky that often I get to be a witness to that, it's like the changes that happen in a very short amount of time, and that feeling of being understood, the hope, the renewed hope of, oh, wow, so maybe there is another way. So maybe I'm not going to be miserable for like 10 hours every business day until the end of, until retirement or whatever it is. If it's your professional life that's causing you a lot of stress, that is so fulfilling to me. There's just so much that it can give you. So I really enjoy that. And as we've talked about earlier with the aura, that is one of the things that I think is so specific and intriguing about projectors, and that if it were up to me, I would want all of us to understand. And then you can choose yourself if you want to apply that in daily life or you want to play with it and see what happens, but at least to have that understanding, and then you do with it as you please, basically.
Yeah, I really like that. Now, when I first did the human design assessment, it's always when I do a personality type, you could just kind of look at the different types and you almost like make up your mind of, oh, I want to be this one.
You want to be the best one.
Which one is the best of them? So I looked at the projector and I was like, oh, that's the best one because...
Really? Did you?
Yeah, because I thought, well, I always go for the underdog types, like the types that are not prevalent in a society, like... The first thing I noticed was that projectors were not the smallest type, but one of the types where it's only 20% of the population are projectors, and it's also quite a new type. And then I really resonated with the aspects of the projector is the seer, the projector is the visionary. They can see into other people, and they see patterns that not everybody sees, and so. It always felt like that resonated very much with me in terms of like, yeah, where I feel like I'm at from a work perspective most of the time. I really love to look into the future. I like to look at, at something that's chaotic and bring structure to it, optimize it, improve it, make it better. And that really resonated with me. So I really liked the projector type going in. But then the more and more I found out about what it means to be a projector, I also saw some of the downsides of it. Mm-hmm. So walk us through what it means to be a projector, especially when it comes to your work life. And what are some of the things that are really great? And what are some of the things that can trip us up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think once more, it goes back to aura. So actually any relationship, but professional relationships very prevalently. We just imagine the aura visually, right? It's that arrow shape that goes from you outward. So that's where your attention flows, where your energy flows, where your focus flows, which is also basically your energetic currency as a projector. Ideally, that's what you would be recognized for and invited for. So the ideal scenario, like the dream TM, is that someone sees what you've got to offer, what you bring to the table, and they come over and they're like, hey, could you come over and do that for us? Mm. So, oh, I'd love to. And it's brilliant, right? And then you go and you do the thing. And then everyone's like, oh, amazing. Like that really helped us out. Let us now build on that. Because then your job is done. You're not actually there to really concern yourself with the little detail. You're like, as you said, right? The thing that you want to do is you want to bring order. You want to bring structure. You see a system that is in upheaval or a bit of a mess, and you can see which puzzle pieces need to be realigned, and you can go in, do that thing, whatever it is, right? That can be any area of whatever job or professional field it is. And then that has a big impact. So one of the things that's really important for projectors, and it's quite specific, I guess it's just because it's something I work on with a lot of my clients, that it's top of my mind. It's actually not so much in the hours you put in. So for projectors, it's like you might put in 1 hour, like you'll come in and you'll do that rearranging, that restructuring, but it's the value that this hour provides. So there's often a mismatch between, you know, how sort of we're conditioned or just how we're societally and culturally valuing work, where it's still very much, you know, how many hours have you put in? Are you present like all day, every day? Do you have like a whatever 9-hour work day? What is it? Whereas for projectors, it's much more the value that comes from maybe a very short time span. I'm seeing that value. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I read that somewhere along the lines of a projector can do, you know, the work that other people would do in an 8-hour day in a much shorter span of time. And it's often, you know, being seen as a negative because you somehow want to, you know, especially in a 9-to-5, you want to somehow fill that time.
But and you will. And then, you know, what happens? Because that's when my clients find me, they will do 3 9-to-9-hour work days because they will just do it times 3. So they think that they just have to fill. And then they get exhausted and burnt out. And they're like, I cannot. I mean, that's where I was. That's certainly my story. And it's really, so that's another thing that I would wish for all projectors, especially in a corporate environment, to have that understanding. And I know it's hard because right now there's a discrepancy, right? We're in that kind of threshold space where the old is kind of on its way out, but it's still making a lot of noise and the new isn't quite ushered in yet. So you know, maybe there are some more progressive work environments, but very many environments are still quite traditional in that way. So, you know, you with your aura are designed to do things differently, but is your environment supportive of that? And very often that's not the case. So I understand the difficulty.
Yeah. How do you work with your clients in a situation like that when they feel like they can do the work much faster, but then they're still part of an organization or part of a corporation that just kind of, you know, values, you know, the doing the work, doing a lot of the output. Is it just an understanding and embracing that we can do things much faster and that we may not need as much time? Or is it also to a certain extent educating our environment and just kind of showing that, you know, we've delivered, but in a much shorter span of time?
I think it really depends on the environment. So for me, right, the loyalty is always to my client. I don't know these people they work with, but, you know, in most cases, right? And also I will say I do work mostly with business owners themselves. But I do also work with people who work in corporate environments. And we certainly look at these things. You know, if you saw my desktop, it's like I have my clients' charts and then I have like their boss's chart, their coworker. Like we look at all of them. We're like, oh no, of course you always feel this way with this person because they have a defined, you know, heart and you don't. So we want to understand the environment they're in and just make it so it's depending on what the status quo is and what the goal is. If someone is coming to me and they are just exhausted, our primary goal is to just get them to a place where they can deal, as you say, right? Where they can survive. Like survival is our primary goal. We're not so worried about educating anyone else right now.
Yeah.
It's like, let's get you to a point where you're not dying at 5 p.m. every day. But let's do that. So we might need to just really implement. I remember this one client, she had this job and she, bless her. She was just, what a powerhouse projector. but completely living as a generator, like completely conditioned. And I get it. Both my parents are energy types. I'm an only child. I certainly have never been modeled the projector way. And how would I have, right? And so for this client as well, she was basically a better generator than any generator would be. Like she would show up, she would do the thing. She was like, she had drive, she kept going. And she was exhausted. She's really exhausted. So she kept changing jobs, but it would never change because, of course, it's her own inner capacity. So that's something I work on with clients. I call it capacity in terms of where is your capacity for valuing. There's different capacities, but in this case, the capacity to value what you do, not just value. First of all, identify what it is that you do and then see the value in that and just let that stand on its own instead of keep delivering, which she felt she had to do. And of course, no company, you know, is ever going to tell you, actually, Susan, you're fine. Do less. Like, you're okay. They're like, yeah, let's keep going, right? Even though you're like producing top-notch output. And I was this person. I was this person.
That feels very familiar.
Right? You would tell me like, this is not quite an A plus. I mean, we don't use that system, but basically this is like an A minus. I'd be like, yep, say no more. Let me do it again overnight. Oh, I'm getting no sleep. That's fine. I'll hand it back in tomorrow and it will be perfect. Like, right. And there's different configurations. It's not specifically just projectors. I would look at again an under a heart definition or lack thereof. So we would look at that. And with this client, I remember we had to get really playful. And we basically just created this persona for her. It's like, I don't know if you know this. I feel like anyone who works in a corporate environment has a coworker like this. I certainly had coworkers like this. It's like the dude who's just flowing, just breezing through the day. Like just whenever you see him, he has a cup of coffee in hand. He's always like, you're in your office, you know, typing away, and he's just standing just like relaxed and casual in the door frame, just chatting. And you're like, dude, like, okay, are we done? Because I need to keep working. He has all the time in the world, never stressed. You know the guy?
I do. Yeah.
And then you go to his office and he's like, oh yeah, let me just finish these wedding invitations that I'm printing. He's casually doing his own like wedding invitations. Like that guy. So we gave the guy a name. I don't remember. She came up with the name and we're like, we need to channel this guy for you. Like, this is our first step. We can work on the other things later, but you're going to have to channel this guy because otherwise you will work yourself into the ground.
Yeah.
And it's just basically the idea is like, you're doing 500% right now. Let's tone it down. 70% is what we're aiming for in her cases. You know, 200 would be an improvement because she was doing so much. But we really, like, literally came up with this persona that she had to put, like, the minute she walked into the office, she had to, like, put it on, like, a costume. And I remember because she had just changed jobs. So she just started working at this new company. So we're like, this is an opportune moment because what happens when you change within a matrix or Gefüge, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That already knows you is there's going to be a lot of resistance because people are like, "What? Why are you no longer doing the thing you were doing? Why are you no longer over-delivering? Excuse me. What are you doing?" Where if you're coming into a new Gefüge, you're just like, that's just what you can expect from me. And it's still enough. It's still more than enough. Like that wasn't, you know, I wouldn't necessarily tell anyone to do this, but for this client in particular, I knew that if she were to tone it down, it was still going to be surpassing any expectations.
Yeah. What I'm taking away is that it is a lot about the inner work and our own expectations of what this is going to look like and what our work output is. And there is a recurring theme here with a lot of what I try to work through with this audience specifically, in that the projector types seem like they are not the most prevalent type in society, in a corporation, in the workplace. And therefore, those structures are more prone towards the types that are just kind of, you know, standing out more. As you say, the generators, they are the ones who work constantly, who have a lot of energy and who have a constant energy to work on their project. So it's almost like the energy always replenishes, whereas for projectors, there is an amount of energy that we have. And once we are out of it, we need to replenish. And it just looks differently. And it feels like that's very similar to being an introvert in the workplace, which is what I work through with my audience, along the lines of the corporations and most companies are made for extroverts because there are a lot of extroverts in corporate. And so it feels like career advice is made for them. Anything along the lines of how to become more visible, how to stand out in the workplace is all kind of made for extroverts and for types that are very easily connect with others who would be standing in doorways holding a cup of coffee and just kind of doing casual conversations and being promoted along the way.
They're fine. They're good. They're designed. Yeah. They're good.
Yeah. But so what we're missing is advice on how to deal or how to become visible in a way that is more introvert friendly, that doesn't involve us, you know, making ourselves awkward or pretending to be something that we're not. And it feels like a business around projectors is very, very similar in that we just need to understand the way we operate and how to, you know, deal with that, how to do the inner work and to then show up in a way that is more conducive to our energy.
Exactly that. And then I think the understanding, step one. And then secondly, build the capacity to be a little bit audacious with that, to get to a point where, and I know it's really hard. I haven't been able to do it. In fact, in a corporate, that's why I'm self-employed. It's why I built my own company because I never felt that. And I was always quite miserable being employed. But to get to a point where it's just how it is, like you're unapologetic about who you are. And I remember very distinctly, I was at uni. I think it was one of my management seminars with my professor. And he was saying, if you're not extroverted, you might as well give up on the notion of leadership.
Oh, wow.
And I just sat there and I remember looking around and going like, you know, like surely everyone is feeling this way right now. Like everyone is like sitting there with their mouths open, but everyone's just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, sure. And it just really made me think, like I have this background in classic business that is also merged with more progressive fields in the realm of tech and design. So I'm lucky that I did get to broaden my views with some more creative approaches to business. But I will say a lot of it was and continues to be taught in an incredibly old school and incredibly conditioning manner.
Yeah.
And that's where I just think there's really a lot of space and actually, you know, to be filled with a different approach. It's part of the reason why I created my schools, like my service design school and product design school, which give you a solid business strategy curriculum, but they also take into account energetics and capacity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would think, I'm actually curious, do you find with your work around being an introvert, I would think that that is more readily accepted or more like, you know, in German, we would say it's received by open ears, you know what I mean? Rather than coming with something as woo-woo sounding as human design. So what's your experience been with that?
Yeah, I feel like it is definitely more accepted these days. It feels like there is a lot more content out there on introversion versus extroversion. Not so much though in the corporate world. Like it always depends on how open corporations are with personality type leadership. I feel like the organization that I am with, there's a lot of work on MBTI profiles, which naturally touches on introversion versus extroversion. But still, a lot of the career advice that I perceive and have been given throughout my career was really not something that I could use as an introvert. I've tried and I've made myself really miserable in trying to play the extrovert and doing all the things as I've been told, but then I've sort of had to find my own way of dealing with it in a more subtle way, which is essentially how my business was created and why I now help introverts succeed in the workplace and do things slightly differently. But I think the next version of that is almost going deeper into energy types and human design, because if we're honest, there are probably at least there are many different ways to go about building a career and becoming successful. But yeah, we only see that one way. We're only being taught that one way. So I feel like, yes, definitely, there is a lot of people in corporate who are willing to have a conversation about personality and introversion. I feel like we're a long way off from more spiritual grounds or human design type thinking. Definitely.
And then also I would think, or in my experience at least, but again, it's a while back, it's like, okay, let's do this fun personality test. And then you have the information, but the information is still just information, right? It's just insight. And then what do we do with that? Like, are we actually willing to change things around and to change our structures of merit and value based on that? Or is then the advice for the more introverted type still going to basically be more extroverted? Like, just be different.
Yeah.
And I still get it. When I was still in a more corporate environment, I was employed. I used to get up at 4 a.m. I've told the story before, so that I could be in the office by 7 every morning, so that I could have 2 uninterrupted hours before everyone else would come in.
I feel you.
Yesterday. And I was really at my most miserable. It pains me to think back to that time because, I mean, I can tell it in a kind of comedy way now, where it's like I was literally depending, these like energy clearing mists, like aura sprays and stuff. I would like go to the office at 7, spray them around the entire office, and open all the windows so that no one would smell a thing. And then I would have crystals everywhere, like not openly, but like I would have like crystals in my like pockets, and I had this big pendant that was kind of a little bit ugly, but the guy at the store was like, yeah, this is gonna protect you. And I had, I had cacti, like cactus plants on my desk to literally fight off people, because energetically cacti are said to have that kind of keep out energy, right? Because they sting. So I had them on my desk, but then people would come over and be like, they're so cute. I'm like, no,
they're meant to keep you away.
please step back, ma'am. Yeah. And it's so hard when you're so sensitive to the environment. Like, I'm a feeling cognition. Do you happen to know your cognition, human design?
I don't.
Your super sense. It's one of the senses. It's going to be vision, smell, feeling, something like that.
I feel like generally I'm very, very sensitive to my environment. Like, I will tell people, oh, the music is too loud. Oh, that smell is too strong. And I can literally feel in my body when there is a bad vibe in a room, or when I'm surrounded by conflict. It's just kind of feel it. In my own, I can't really describe what it is, but it's just heightened for me.
Yeah.
Taste. I'm just reading through my chart. Yeah.
You actually have the taste. You're like, oh, this doesn't taste good. Like, I don't want this. Like, they're very discerning, taste cognitions.
Yeah.
We're feeling. So we're very sensitive and actually also get extremely affected by tech and having too many devices around you. So it was just all around miserable. And I remember at the height of this misery, this is, again, kind of like a tragic comedy thing. My mom got me a present for my birthday or something. And it was a book literally called Hiding in the Bathroom. Do you know it?
I don't.
But you sound like but because it's about being an introvert in the workplace. So I think you might find this helpful. You should have the author on the pod. That would actually be really cool.
That is an excellent idea.
I remember really it giving me some actionable input, and more so at the time, just some plain old solace during a time where I thought that I would never find my place. And as I said before, that I would just always be miserable for like all business hours of every day.
And you mentioned that at some point you've done the corporate experience, but at some point you felt like you rather wanted to run your own business, which I feel like a lot of projectors end up doing. Now, for those projectors who are still in corporate, what is your advice? What would you advise them to do in order to feel more aligned? How can we protect ourselves or embrace our projector beings and thrive in corporate?
I think it's, I don't know if you can even say this in English, but it stands and falls with. With the people around you. So for projectors, it's just really, really important that we're surrounded by the right people and not the surrounded by, but enter into relationships with the right people. Because there's this, I don't know if you've heard Ra Uruvu, who's the creator, I want to say, of the system. If you've ever heard him talk on a recording, he says this really eloquently, much more eloquently than I ever could, but I remember him saying, as a projector, when you're entering into alliances, collaborations with others in a way that is not correct, in a way that is not orically correct, it's like you're pouring the wrong oil into your car. Like, it's really that sticky quality, but it's inside your aura. And then it's really hard to clean that back out. So it's extremely important, whether you're in corporate, whether you're self-employed, even in romantic relationships, friendships, what have you, to be with the right people, because the right people are going to either bring it out of you or everything is going to be very much more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And you end up, you know, one of those things that happens is you end up trying to convince everyone of your worth, which is already, for a projector, a wrong way to go about things. Again, with that aura, you know, the more you push it, the more you're going towards someone who's not seeing it and who's not recognizing you, and the more you want it. Because of course you would, you know, if this person is your superior, if this person is the person who decides what your salary is going to be or whether you're going to get promoted or not, of course you want them to see your value. But the harsh reality, I want to say, is that not everyone is designed to be all the same. We call this a fractal in human design. Like, it's basically like a wavelength, if you want to think of it that way. And not everyone is going to be on your fractal. So not everyone is going to see your worth. And in my experience and with my clients, I just think it's one of the most exhausting and least productive and least efficient things you can do as a projector to keep pushing it with someone who's never going to see it. I've been there. I've tried. It's not going to work out in your favor. It's, again, this is really not some stuff I read in a book. Like, this is painful personal experience. It's really terrible. But we all do it to some extent because we're designed this way, right? Like, we want the recognition. We're designed to have it, but we're not going to get it from just anyone, and just because we decide to get it. So sometimes there are some difficult decisions that need to be made. In terms of, you know what, if this is an environment where I'm overlooked or where I'm not seen, do I want to keep fighting here, or are there changes that can be made?
Yeah,
surrounded by different people, because it's just, it takes it out. It's like it makes me sad to see. It makes me sad when I see it in other people, and I remember it being very sad in myself as well.
Oh, you put the finger right into the wound there.
I'm sorry, this is such a downer of a
I really resonate with
an end on an uplifting note.
No, I really resonate with the sentiment of having to convince other people of my worth. And this is something that has always been part of my journey in corporate, is where I had the feeling of, oh, I need to prove myself. I need to prove myself, and constantly, because the stakeholders that you're working with constantly change, right? You have different bosses throughout your career. You're in different parts of the business. I pivoted 3 different times into, you know, from HR to sales to marketing. I always had the sentiment of, now I need to prove myself to a whole new set of stakeholders in addition to, you know, obviously being introverted and not being the most visible. So it felt like I always had to prove myself through work output. And I managed very, very well, but it took a lot out of me. Used up a lot of energy. So you saying that not everyone is going to see your worth and not everybody has to, that gives me a big, big relief, if I'm being honest. So talk to me about, how do we accept that? How do we make sure that we just kind of let it go? And And recognition is, it's great to be recognized. I feel like as a projector, that's when I'm happiest. That's when I feel most successful, is when my work is being recognized. But at the same time, if I push too much to be recognized, I feel misaligned.
Yeah. So I think the more correct that you are, the more solid you are.
Mm.
And the more you can just rest in that. I was actually just chatting to my mom last night, and it was just one of those conversations that just turned into me just being like, I'm so at peace and I'm so content. And she's like, oh, I'm so happy for you. But I really was just like, and I have this, I actually have these moments all the time. And it's one of the things that I love the most about myself. There's a Vonnegut quote that I'm sure I'm going to butcher, but he says that it's basically about identifying and acknowledging happiness and contentment in the moment. Because very often we're like, oh man, like when I was 16, you know, that those were some good days. Like you'll see it in hindsight and you look back and you're like, oh, that actually wasn't too terrible. But and basically what he says is, when you have a moment or when you just find yourself happy and content, like you have to acknowledge it in the moment. You have to take a second and go, this is nice. Like, this is really good. And I have this now in stark contrast to my corporate days. I have this several times a day. So I was saying to my mom yesterday, I'm like, I'm just so good with like life and work and everything. Happiest I've ever been. And I think what it comes down to, or what I've sort of reflected, is that it's just nice to just be yourself. Mm. And it might have taken me to my mid-30s, but man, do I feel like I have arrived squarely within myself. There's almost nothing that I can think of right now that I feel is not okay about me. And, you know, of course, there's like tons of room for improvement. There are always things that I'm working on. But human design has really helped me acknowledge and just accept certain particularities about myself that I never felt deserved to be acknowledged and accepted. I've always been so particular. And you're a second line as well, right?
Yeah.
In human design. So that's a profile line for those who are just kind of hearing about this for the first time. We can be very particular. There's other configurations about my chart and probably others that are very particular. I've always been this way. And now I'm at a point where I just get to wear those particularities outwardly, and I've got good boundaries, and no one really bothers me, to be honest. Like, I'm really rooted within myself. And here's the thing. When you are good with yourself, as I said before, you're correct in yourself, your worth is not up for discussion. No one is coming to negotiate it with you. People are just like, oh, Nadia does it this way. Okay, cool. Or maybe they're like, that's not cool. But then they're like, okay, moving on. Like, then that this is not a match. And I'm okay with that. But no one is coming to negotiate because you're firm in that.
Mm.
You know? And that's, honestly, it's the biggest prosperity in my life, that I get to be myself in my work and be appreciated for that and sought out for that, and have people in some cases move mountains to work with me. And that is really my wish for everyone, not just projectors, but projectors in particular. So to answer your question, I really think it comes down to you being correct within yourself.
Mm. Not trying to fit that mold that we're looking to fit in for most of our early stages in our career. And I really resonate with what you said around, you know, acknowledge who you are, be yourself. And it feels like focusing on that is ultimately going to lead us to being recognized without us having to push, without us having to try particularly.
Yes.
And one thing I particularly noted down is how you said, wear your particularities outwardly.
Yes.
Like, that is just beautiful. And it feels like such a great permission. Yeah.
Like, I have so many things that I'm just always like, oh my God. Like, ugh, can I not just be like everyone else in this regard? Like, ugh, I'm so annoying. And I can't say it out loud. Or I can, but like, no one's going to get it. And I have to be the one to compromise. And now it just like, or maybe I just build a life where that's okay. It can be that way.
Yeah.
And people get like, it always strikes me how, you know, the people I collaborate with, the people who are, you know, who are subscribed to my newsletters, who reply to, like, they're just fine with me being the way I am. Like, I don't have to pretend anything. Or how wonderful.
Yeah. For somebody, though, who is earlier in their career, yeah. you mentioned it took you a while to figure this out about yourself.
Okay.
For somebody who is earlier in their career, and let's say in a corporate setting where it is a lot about just kind of fitting in and making sure that people, that you're proving yourself in a certain way, how do you transition into becoming more of who you are? How do you give yourself permission to show up how you are and potentially show a bit of an edge?
It's really tricky. It's really tricky. I almost don't want to position myself as someone who can advise on that because as I said, I've never really been able to manage to do that.
Yeah.
I do find, again, just one of the little tricks, and it's more of a survival trick than like, is that when you're in a new environment, you have to do it right from the beginning. Because again, what I find where people collapse the most often is when you arduously from within, you know, you built a capacity and you're like, okay, I'm going to like do this differently. And I'm going to set boundaries for the first time tomorrow. But you're in that structure that is so large and so strong and so rigid that the backlash of that, as we said before, right? People are just going, no, we've always done it this way. Why are you trying to do it differently?
Yeah.
It's going to be so hard that you just, if you don't have that spine, if you don't have that capacity built yet, and how would you? Because you haven't been able to practice yet. You then right away go into overwhelm or collapse, however, you know, your nervous system is calibrated. So it's really hard. So if anyone is going into a new position or a new environment, I always think that's a really good time. You know, if you need help with it, work with someone, work with a coach, work with someone who can support you through that for that transition phase so that you can start off strong. That's what I would do. In some cases, like in really heavy cases, I would almost find it a little bit, I don't want to say unsafe, but it's almost too much to ask of you to do it in an existing structure if you're already at the end of your rope, basically. Like if it's already, you know, like, I cannot imagine in some experiences I've had or with my clients, like there's some environments where you can't just go, okay, I'm going to, you know, set the boundaries. Like it's just not feasible.
Yeah.
You can't do it. And I know that's not what anyone wants to hear. Maybe, you know,
I love the honesty though.
I'm sorry.
It's got to be a bit bumpy.
It is because it's like with a family, right? Like these people have known you for a long time. Like everyone has their role. It's like, you changing your role is going to just inevitably ask everyone else, the whole matrix of the family, to also change and shuffle around. It's like family systems.
Mm.
Like you can't just change one element. All the elements around it are going to change. And people are naturally adverse to change. So it's a really tricky thing. So usually if you start something new, it's a better time to present stronger, but then you would have to start a little bit before that to build yourself up internally so that you can do that. And what I do a lot with my clients, and it sounds maybe a little bit silly, but it's been incredible. We do a lot of role play in races. Yeah. Like we will literally go through conversations. I have done it myself. I would rehearse conversations just to give my system, because I do work, as I said, with capacity, which is more on the subconscious level, which is where a lot of these things are rooted, to give your system a frame of reference for what it feels like when you speak with conviction, for what it feels like when you say something matter-of-factly. Because again, it comes back to what I said before, you have to be correct within yourself. If there's a discrepancy between the thing you say, even though you have a perfectly rehearsed script and you say the perfect words, but that's not backed up by your body language or by your capacity, the discrepancy can be felt on the other side. And people know they can bulldoze right over that. You know what I mean?
Mm. It leads me into something else that I had in mind around how you should feel like in order to speak up or get a word in or share your opinion at work. It's almost like it has to feel right. And we all know that projector's strategy is to wait for the invitation and wait to be invited, for somebody else to potentially ask for your opinion, for your advice. And that always feels like I can say, yes, absolutely. That's when I feel best to share. How do we How do we create those environments though, where we are being asked to share? How do we speak up in a way that feels good, that feels aligned?
I think I might look at profile here more so than aura type, depend a little bit, but I would say, let's say for projectors, I don't think that there is ever really a need to be like, I mean, also I would look at the throat center. There's different ways. There's always different expressions. If you have a defined, undefined, there's going to be a high expression, low expression of either of those. Sometimes with the undefined throat, do you happen to have yours defined?
I have a defined throat. Yeah.
I would think so with your podcast. You're like, I have it defined as well, but with my undefined throat clients and, you know, sometimes the people in their lives, because again, I have like all the kids' charts, I have like everyone's charts. We look at everyone.
I love that.
Sometimes there's a tendency in the low expression or the unhealthier expression to just get really loud and like really make up for the lack of definition, right? By just chattering and just filling up space with that voice, but it's not focused. It's not actually essential what you're saying. So I don't think there's ever really a need for that. Again, I think it goes back to aura. I think it goes back to being lit around the right people where you're naturally, the vacuum is going to be there for you to speak because people are interested and they want to hear from you. And when you say something, the chatter will shut up, you know, like it's people will listen. Because the thing is, again, with like kind of the speaking up and if it's not invited, if people are not naturally interested in it, then the risk is, again, that you will be attracting the wrong people and bring into those unhealthy alliances or collaborations that we've talked about before. And then again, the effort that it takes to get back out of that and just cleanse your aura is a lot. So I would rather not have people do that. Yeah. I think it needs to be, everything needs to be sort of set up correctly first and then the rest flows. And again, with profile, like for you and I with the second line profile, it's very often that the external will actually give you the nudge and be like, hey, about this thing. And you're like, wait, you want to hear about that? Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of nuance.
Yeah, it is certainly my experience. Whenever I've been invited in or whenever I've been asked for my opinion, that's when I felt most aligned. That's when I felt best. Whereas whenever I try to speak up and try to like get a word in, and then I actually got a word in, but it just felt like wrong. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't really get my point across. It felt just misaligned. So
it's like when you're a kid at the table and everyone's like me. And then everyone's like, okay, now we're listening to you. And you're like, oh, I just forgot what I wanted to say.
Yeah. I think it goes back to like staying with yourself, trusting that the right people will invite you in and will see your worth. And yeah, a lot of trusting and a lot of the inner work of like staying calm in those moments and not just focusing on being part of the conversation, but making sure that whatever you've got to say, you're saying it at the right time and with the right strategy.
Sometimes I like the idea of being really radical with your strategy, with your authority, and just really like radically going, I will only add to this if I'm asked, like just for a little fun, just for play, like what happens, like not for the rest of my life, but for today or for this meeting or whatever, like see how it goes. And maybe that doesn't work for you and that's fine as well, but that's something you could play with as well.
Yeah. I like the aspect of it being radical, but then Nadia, most of the time I think like, you know what, guys, I know so much better.
Yes.
If you just asked me, like that sounds arrogant, doesn't it? But I do often have the feeling of, oh, if you'd only ask me for my perspective and if you'd only, because I can see so much further and I'm trying to be radical in that and like only share when I'm being asked. But that's an inner conflict that tends to happen.
And you're very, I mean, it just goes to show your incredible self-awareness. You're very thoughtful. And I hear you. And any projector listening to this will hear you, right? We're all like, we all have that. We're like, if only you asked me, we could solve this right now. You wouldn't have to suffer for another 3 years. We could figure it out right now. But same as you, I'm also very mindful these days and I don't always succeed, right? It's even just to share when invited, sometimes even when I'm invited, I will still ask myself, like, you know, I literally, it is my job to, I get hired to share my input on people's businesses and things. But even when, like, I was preparing for a session yesterday, which is a strategy session to go over strategy with someone. And as I prepare, like, you know, I go through, I have a very in-depth form. I read the form. I look at the person's website and social channels. Then I look at their chart. Like, it's a very in-depth process. And then I kind of nerd out and put it all over each other. And I'm like, oh, I can see the undefined head. And, like, you know, it's like my notes at the end look a little bit serial killery because it's all these arrows. It's like, oh, this makes, you know, that meme that's like the wall and it's like everything connected. That's me preparing for sessions.
I love that.
And even within that, I will go even deeper and go, has this person hired me specifically for this? Like, yeah, I might have some input on this and this, but is this what they hired me for? And I will still ask, like, basically from this preparation I did yesterday, I have like one entire page of handwritten notes on one aspect of their website. And I prepped it, but in the session itself, I will ask this person, hey, I've got some notes on this and this. Would you be interested in going over those? If not, totally fine as well. So it's up to them. And some things I just never share. Like, we all as projectors, we see a lot more and understand a lot more than we let on. I think it's just, I ask myself, am I hired to share this? Has this person hired me to give me this, to give my feedback? Because if not, it will not be received. That's the other thing. Like, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you do sometimes think, and it's sometimes accurate, that you could save them 5 years of misery or, you know, egging around to translate from German, where it's like, we can really get a move on here and like get you to a better place. But If I'm not hired, essentially, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it's more like a metaphor. Like, are you invited?
Yeah,
not worth it almost because you're leaking your energy where it's not invited. And you know what always helps me? A little trick. You and all of us will have had this. You will have been on the other side of this exchange where a projector or someone that you strongly suspect to be a projector. Dumping their stuff on you, or they're just, their aura is just coming in really hot and strong, and you never invited it, and it feels so jarring.
Yeah.
There is almost nothing as jarring as having that projector aura full focus on you, and you're just like, oh no, like
I was funny to hear that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I've had this a few times where it happened to me with other projectors, and it is so jarring. And I always tell myself, I never want to be perceived this way. Like, I would hate to, and I'm sure I have been, like, I'm not mindful all the time. You know, I'm human, like these things happen, but it helps me. Like, it's a little paradigm shift where I go, okay, do you want to be that person right now? Because I know you don't. So then it helps me. It helps me keep it in because I'm like, no, I don't want people to ever feel this way.
What I'll take away is you're leaking your energy when you're not invited.
Yeah.
Nadia, I'll have one more question before we wrap for today. All around the aspects of projectors are the guides, the advisors, the mentors. And I feel like you've certainly made a business out of that. And it's where I feel most aligned. For somebody who is early in their career and feels like, you know, It always feels like you need a lot of on paper experience to be considered an advisor and a mentor, to be considered somebody who has all the answers. And to me, I always felt like that came naturally to me. I felt like I always had advice before I ever had the on paper experience. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about how you would go about stepping into that role of being a guide and an advisor, even early in your career when you don't have as many years of experience yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is a part that actually often gets forgotten or glossed over a little bit in the projector space, which is that there is a path towards mastery. So there's always a lot of talk about guiding others. And I think in order for that to be correct and to be invited and to be recognized, there needs to be some kind of mastery. So we do put in our time learning, gaining experience so that eventually we can master a system. I do think that the seeds are there early on, but I personally, I do think there is something to be said for cultivating that skill and skill set, and you will, because, you know, what is your profile? Is it a
6'2"?
6'2". So yeah, I remember the six. So for you, right, the role model, like the goal eventually is going to be, you're going to be sought out for that. Like you're going to be in that role model position where people look at you, how has she done it? And you're going to be able to inspire through that. So that's a lifelong journey, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and that's just life, right? And also our culture where we want everything right now, but I think there's merit in doing things step by step and really building a skill set or a skill that in order for you to then really be sought out as the expert of that field, where then you really will get that real recognition and that genuine invitation. So yeah, in my experience, there's mastery still required. So it's not so much that, you know, I was just born with this. Maybe I really was born with skills and with like Anlage, right? It's already there, but it's
like the traits.
It needs to be cultivated and experienced. I mean, I literally made up my own job. Like I didn't exist. I had to create it. I mean, created it out of thin air. But then, wow, like, you know, with years of experience, with years of actually working with, say, projectors, the experience that I've gained now is so much more than I ever could have understood when I first started out, because now I have hundreds of case studies of students and clients where I'm like, oh, this is how I've seen this play out in real life. Or like, oh, you know, there's always like, oh, I have another client who has this, or like, oh, you have a similar chart to this. Interesting. Oh, the open head, it works out this way. I mean, that happened with experience. And I think the more that you build on that and really invest in that, the more you will be sought out and the more the genuine invitations will come your way. And as I said before, people will move mountains to work with you.
That is a really important aspect for me in terms of like, it's a lifelong journey. Yes, you are born with this specific design type and with this energy and with this aura, but it takes you a while to really get there and then to reap the benefits of it. I think this is really important for everyone to take away, certainly for me.
And for me as well. But yeah, I think that the concept of mastering a system, it just takes time. And I know that's something that's, in our short-lived culture, like we have this kind of notion that everything has to be quick and right now, and we have very short attention spans, and there's a lot of, you know, there's like, it's an industry, like making money off of the promise of everything being easy and quick and no effort or low effort. And I personally, I could never stand for that. It's not how I want to communicate. I always think anything that I put out there, I want to be able to still stand behind that in 10 years from now, 20 years from, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather say it as I see it, and I might change my mind at some point, but today that's how I see things. And yeah, it's maybe not what everyone wants to hear, because of course, mastery takes time, takes effort. It's not so easy, but I think it pays off.
Yeah. And it's definitely consistent with everyone I heard speak about this, and everyone who in our minds is successful, they've worked their way there. And it's never just the overnight. It's never just the shiny thing that we see on social media. It does take effort, and it is a journey.
There's gift that you have, that you innately have. And then there's the cultivation, and then there's the hard work. And I've worked with some extremely successful projectors in their field. They're all hard workers. They're not maybe, you know, at this point, hard workers, and like a generator would be a hard worker, but still they have put in the time. Again, it goes back. It's actually a nice bookend for this conversation. It goes back to what you do in that hour, the value of what you do, you've cultivated over a decade or many decades through mastery of a system, so that you then can go in in an hour and fix the thing.
Yeah.
But that has, there's behind that scene, behind the scenes, there's a lot of work and a lot of effort that has gone into that.
Well, amen. But yeah, I could go on and on talking to you about this. I've got, you know, so many questions, and you have so many case studies of people that you've worked with. Maybe we'll do this another time, but thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for talking to us about projectors in corporate and in the workplace. Now, let my audience know where everyone can find you and work with you, what to work with you on specifically. And yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation. It's a departure from like the usual things I talk about, but that was really fun. And I thought your questions were so like nuanced and really thoughtful. And yeah, just really fun to kind of go down these different alleys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find me at nadiagabrielle.com. That's my general business where I work with all types and I work on strategy. So that's business, service design, product design, design thinking, and capacity, which is more the internal aspects that we've talked about today. So building capacity to show up, building capacity to speak up, building capacity to set boundaries, all these things that we talked about. And then I'm at projectorsinvited.com, which is for my projectors only, projectors and those who love us, who I think, which is everyone, right?
Absolutely.
And there's a meme account on Instagram at Projectors Invited where there's laughs for days if you have a sense of humor. And then there's a Projectors newsletter. You'll find that on projectorsinvited.com as well. I do recommend that. I kind of structured it like a little curriculum. So when you sign up, there's an automation. You'll receive an email every once in a while. Not too much. It's not overwhelming, but there's going to be a little bit of education popping into your inbox every now and then, just little bite size about what it means to be a projector at work, and so on. And I have a personal newsletter as well, which is basically just me talking about books I've read and like TV shows I've watched. And that's pretty much it.
I love that. Well, Nadia, again, thank you so much for joining me today. And yeah, I'd love to do this again sometime.
Thank you. Absolutely. Tell me when and I'll be there.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Awfully Quiet podcast. I am really committed to change the narrative of what it means to be awfully quiet. So if you know someone who would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. New episodes are dropping each Tuesday, and I can't wait for you to tune in next time. Oh, and if you want to bring a big smile to my face today, leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. It means the world to me. See you next time.